Hey, Matthew chapter 3, going through the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, so as I mentioned before, I believe the New Testament writers wrote to local churches or local church members. We don't necessarily have written in Matthew his audience here, but I would assume since Matthew was an apostle to the Jerusalem church and he's dealing with the fact that Jesus of Nazareth is their king, king of the Jews, that is, of course, ours as well, that he's probably writing to the Jerusalem church. So that's what I would assume. In other words, why would the church members at the Jerusalem church need the book of Matthew? Well, they would need the book of Matthew to be encouraged and also to help their friends and relatives in the city of Jerusalem to realize that this Jesus of Nazareth, that they no doubt had heard of, and realized unusual things happened in Jerusalem relative to him, as for instance when he was on the cross, the afternoon got dark, when he gave up the ghost, the veil in the temple written to, so the priests would all know that. When he resurrected, he was ministered for 40 days in Jerusalem as a resurrected Savior, and then there were resurrected saints wandering around in the city as well, and so no doubt unusual things happened, and so the church people there, the believers there, met in the upper room, the 120, and then the 3,000 added, and then later on 5,000 added. There was a big growth here, and so all these things going on. And whenever Matthew wrote, perhaps later on, he's indicating to them that for you believers, yes, you've made the right choice. You've trusted in the true King of Israel, all right, to encourage him. And you can tell your relatives and friends who are trying to pull you away from this and so on that he is the King of Israel. So anyway, Matthew's trying to demonstrate here as he's going through that Jesus of Nazareth is the true Messiah and the only one who could possibly be the Messiah, according to Scripture. So he had the right genealogy. He came from David. He had the right birth. He was virgin born. He had the right nativity. So passages about his nativity as a baby and so on were predicted and fulfilled in his life. And now he has the right forerunner, only one forerunner, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came with this new ministry of baptism. And so we find that John the Baptist was a predicted forerunner. He said he fulfilled that. And now since he's the forerunner and he now can identify the Messiah, because we see the Messiah is the one upon whom the Spirit came, and he recognized that. And so that's where we are in chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3. And so for several terms, for instance, the word Baptist, so John is known as John the Baptist, the word Baptist found 14 times in the New Testament. The word baptism is found 22 times in the New Testament. Baptism. It's in the King James Bible, translating the Greek words here. And the verb, baptize, is found 80 times. So just a few statistics here. A Baptist 14 times, baptism 22 times, and baptism, or baptize is a verb, maybe a participle, but a verb, some sort, 80 times. All right, so we have preponderance of these words that relate to all of this. Now, we have John the Baptist. So he is designated by the Lord as the Baptist. He's the one who would baptize, baptized by immersion. There was no baptism in the Old Testament. There was washing of hands and feet and so on, but that wasn't baptism. So we have baptism. We don't there is the word for sprinkling found four times in the New Testament, rantizo, but that's found primarily in Hebrews and has to do with sprinkling of the blood. So there's no John the sprinkler. All right, There's John the Baptist, but no John the Sprinkler, so think of that. All right, so Presbyterians, beware. Anyway, so we have this, the words that relate to him. And very clear what baptism is in the chapter 3, verse 7, for instance, or 6, rather. He was baptized or immersed or dipped in the Jordan River. Now, John's Gospel brings out some additional details. Let's look over there in John's Gospel. And we find some details here that are expounded on in John. It's not found here in Matthew, for instance. So in Matthew, so I'm jumping back and forth. So go to John, but I'm just going to read Matthew 3, verses 5 and 6. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, so Jerusalem is in Judea. Jerusalem's right at the tip of the Dead Sea on the map in your mind. All right, Dead Sea. And then north of Dead Sea is the Jordan River going up the Sea of Galilee. So you've got that in your mind. Right at the tip of the Dead Sea and over towards the west, just a few miles, is Jerusalem. So Jerusalem, Judea, and all the region round about Jordan. So right there at the north part of the Dead Sea, into which the Jordan River flows, would be the baptismal site. Not way up north where the traditional site was coming out of the Sea of Galilee. But anyway, but more detail is given over here in John's Gospel. So let's look over in John's Gospel. And we have a reference here to a location, John chapter 1, verse 28. John 1:28 says, these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now, this is the only place where we find Bethabara in the Bible, in the New Testament. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. So he's baptizing into Jordan, but this is a certain location. Now, the word behind, the meaning behind this, Beth, that's the Hebrew word, so it's transliterated into Greek and English here. Beth means house, and Abara means crossing. Crossing. So the house of crossing. What's the significance of the house of crossing? So house has to do with the location. So we have Bethlehem, that's the name of a city, it's a certain place there. House of bread, for instance. So what happened at the Jordan where there was a crossing? Who crossed the Jordan? Israelites crossed the Jordan to go into the promised land. All right? And so that seems to be the place now. The modern versions, following the critical text, have changed the word Beth-Abara to Bethany. But Bethany, this cannot possibly be Bethany, because Bethany is very close to Jerusalem. All right? So this is not Bethany. And so the King James and the text underneath King James consistently through the centuries translate this Bethabara, place of crossing. Now, I think this is significant. If you look back there in Matthew chapter 3, for instance, so John is at the Jordan River, somewhere on the Jordan River, somewhere close to Bethabara. And he says in verse 9, when this is 3:9, when the Jews, that the Pharisees are saying, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. All right, so the Lord doesn't care that they are Jews, descendants of Abraham. But notice the expression, these stones. What stones? What stones? What stones would he be talking about? At the place of crossing the Jordan, what stones? Right? You follow that? So if you look back in Joshua chapter 4, And let's see. Right around verse 8, Joshua 4, 8, or 4, 9, let's look there. 4, 9, Joshua 4, 9 says, "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. They are there unto this day." That is, unto the day when Joshua wrote this. It doesn't mean 2022, yeah, but anyway, necessarily. But anyway, so they put stones there in the river where the priest stepped into the Jordan River and so on. Now remember, the Old Testament points to whom? It's the Lord. Points to the Lord. And so I think when the Lord is, or John is there, speaking to the Pharisees have come out to the Jordan, somewhere just north of the Dead Sea, it's not way up north, coming out of the Sea of Galilee, that's where the common place is, but that's not a biblical place. So somewhere right north and over against Jericho, right? Over against Jericho. The Jews crossed over, but John's right in that area as well. And so so if he's going to minister to those in Jerusalem and Judea, he's not going to want to go way north, 90 miles north. He's going to stay in that area. And so I think John is saying, here we are, where the Jews crossed, the stones are still here. And so you Jews, you say you are descendants of Abraham. You know, yeah, that's about as unimportant to the Lord. I mean, these stones, the 12 stones there, the Lord could raise them up. Now, the stones represent the tribes, right? So, the 12 tribes. If he wanted more Jews, he could make the stones into Jews, I guess. That's what he's saying there. You follow that? So, it's significant, these little words. And we go back there to 128. These things were done in Beth Abara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now, today, nobody knows exactly where that is, which is good, you know. But we know it's down close to the top of the Dead Sea and not up by the mouth of the Sea of Galilee, where the traditional site is. And if we knew that exact place, people would want to dip water out of that exact place, and somehow it would become magical, right? So the Lord hid that, but it was known back in those days. You follow that? And so this is where he was baptizing. And so, and of course, as mentioned there, then the critical text, so who'd be behind that? Who'd want to try to confuse this? Who'd want to take away the 12 stones in the Jordan where they passed over and so on? Who would be behind that? Well, the devil would. So the critical text is the work of the devil, and it's behind the modern versions. That doesn't mean anybody has a modern version is demon-possessed. I'm not saying any of these things, but I'm just saying that in the past, Satan tampered with the text, and so we have the product of the tampered text there. All right, so anyway, we have John is baptizing there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
2 miles.
Yeah, right.
So Jericho's at least 40,
35, yeah.
40 miles.
Right, yeah. There's no way it could be Bethany. Yeah. So then the critics say in their notes, well, it's a different Bethany. Yeah, okay. But they've taken away the word that means house of crossing, which should be significant. So anyway. We're back here in John. So here in John, he's laying out, John chapter 1, laying out the ministry of the Lord. And so he declares here in 119 following, when he's being asked by the religious leaders, who is he? He indicates there in 123, so this is John 123. I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So in other words, he knew he was the fulfillment of the Isaiah prophecy of chapter 40, verse 3, Isaiah 43. So he's declaring that. And so now let's go back to Matthew and then we'll come back to John. So back there in Matthew, we looked at 3:11 about 3 weeks in a row here. And we move on, but let's now look to verse 13. So verse 13, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So at this point, John baptizes the Lord. And so the Lord comes from Galilee. So Galilee's up there by the Sea of Galilee. So it's about a 60-mile difference between Sea of Galilee and Dead Sea, but it's about a 90-mile trek because of the wandering around and so on. But anyway, so apparently the Lord walked 60 miles to get baptized, or the distance anyway, what equivalent would be. And that down there by the Jordan, it's pretty rocky and rugged territory and so on along the way. And so that's how far the Lord had to go to get baptized. Can you imagine that? I remember he didn't go there in SUV, air conditioned, and all that. I mean, he had to walk. He had to walk. So anyway, and John forbade him. Said, I have need to be baptized of thee. So that means John was not baptized, all right? So who would have baptized John? Well, John wasn't going to baptize himself. That's called sea baptism, so it's the idea of self-baptism. The Bible doesn't teach self-baptism. His father didn't baptize him. Why wasn't John baptized? Because John began the baptism movement. So nobody baptized him, and so he was not baptized. And Jesus did not baptize him, all right? So have to keep in mind both the Testaments. So John started the New Testament. Adam started the Old Testament. So both Testaments started off with unique individuals. Who is Adam's physical mother and father in heaven? But in the marriage command there, leave father and mother. But he didn't have father and mother. All right? And so he was unique. Adam did not have a father and mother physically. God created him directly. So the Old Testament starts off with a unique individual. I mean, after all, when you're starting something new, it's going to be unique. Right? John the Baptist starts off the New Testament, and he's unique. He is the Baptist, but he was never baptized. Does that mean that gives us room not to be baptized? I'm going to be like John the Baptist, never get baptized. No. You're not unique like him. And the Lord submitted himself to John's baptism. And so here we have this truth here. Now the Lord said, in verse 15, "Suffer it to be so. Now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." All right, so fulfill all righteousness. And so the Lord was identified with John's baptism and what it taught. Identified with John's baptism, what it taught. So baptism is identification. And so those who were baptized by John were identifying with John's baptism and the message of John's baptism, and that was the gospel message, death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus identified with John's baptism as well, because he would be the one fulfilling the death, burial, and resurrection. And so baptism is identification. It's an authentication, indicating somebody is authenticating themselves as identifying with the message. Talked about that last time. So he says to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered them, or he went ahead and baptized the Lord. Now keep in mind, baptism never saves anybody. So back there in verse 6, individuals confess their sins prior to their baptism. And they repented prior to their baptism. So baptism didn't save anybody, obviously. Of course, the Lord didn't need to be saved, but baptism is identification. All right, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. So back in verse 6, it says, and were baptized of him in Jordan. So he was in the Jordan water, and he went up out of the water. Went straightway up out of the water. So in, up, or in, up, out. So what does that picture sprinkling? That pictures pouring? No. It pictures immersion. So we're trying to flush out all the baby baptizers might be in here. All right. So it's immersion. That's what the word means. Straightway up out of the water. Now, I had a Protestant teacher one time told me what this means is that they went down the banks of the Jordan, got in the water, John poured water on his head, and they went back up the banks of the Jordan. So that's what it means, in the Jordan and up out. But it says up out of the water. Straight way out of the water. So it's not up and down the banks, it's up and out of the water, all right? So that's a Protestant university I went to. Anyway, and then here the Lord authenticates him. Lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. All right, so here was the visible manifestation. The Spirit comes upon him like a dove. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. All right, so here is the Trinity meeting. The God-man in the water, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit coming upon him, and the voice of God from heaven. And notice, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, so this is the Father, in whom I am well pleased. So God the Father was well pleased in Jesus when he got baptized. And if we're a Christian, then we identify with the Lord. He was baptized by immersion. We identify with him. And I would say by extension, then the Lord is well pleased with us when we are baptized into the assembly. Amen. All right. So here John was able to recognize this, that he is the one. And the triune God had confirmed that Jesus is the Messiah. So here we have John is the forerunner, and to him, so John knew he was a forerunner, and to him now he knows that Jesus is the one that he was preparing for, the Messiah here. Now notice 4:1, 4:1 continues. So 4:1 continues with a temporal adverb, which means that this follows. Then was Jesus led up in the Spirit into the wilderness. So after he's baptized, he's tempted. Next event, baptized, tempted. Baptized, tempted. Now we come over here to John chapter 1. And let's go back here. So try to put some things together here. And so we're told here, once again, 123, John Baptist said he's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And then verse 26, John answered and said, I baptize water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is whom who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. So these things were done in Beth Abara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day. So now we have the next day. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending. So notice the tense there, I saw, past tense. He's already baptized Jesus. Right? He's already baptized him. So these days, so we have basically the first week of the Lord's ministry comes after he's been baptized. And then we have a 40-day fasting. And then we have this first week of his public ministry. So he's baptized, Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 4, he's tempted for 40 days. And then John picks up, and the next day. You follow that? So there's the chronology that we have here. So John already knew Jesus, now having been tempted for 40 days, is back. He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Notice that couldn't be said until he's passed the temptation. Right? So he was tempted by Satan to sin, but he didn't sin. Why? Because he's a perfect God-man. So since he didn't sin, he now can take away the sin of the world. Follow that? Because he's the Lamb of God. All right, and then he says, and this is he of whom I said, so he's talking about that, and he's talking about in verse 31, so how would John know? Well, John knew he was the Messiah when he visibly saw the dove coming down upon him. This confirmed to John, so now he can say, Behold the Lamb of God. And so he states that in verse 32. We can look at 33 now. I knew him not. See, so he was a relative, right? He was a relative. But he didn't know necessarily or wasn't confirmed with certainty in his heart that he was the Messiah. And anyway, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he we shall baptize with the Holy Ghost. So here the Father sent John, tells him this. Spirit of God comes upon him, and he realized then that Jesus would baptize the audience of that day, the Jews, whether believers or unbelievers, in either the Holy Ghost, which happened on Pentecost, or in fire if they rejected him. That was back there in Matthew chapter 3. And verse 34, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
Pastor,
yeah.
You gave reference also for 1 Timothy 3:16.
Right, yeah.
For the Spirit there.
Yeah, let's turn to that. Yeah, let's turn to that. I was going to mention that, but that's good. We can get that now. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3:16. So here we have, Scripture says, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So here is the incarnation of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified in the Spirit. So justified could be indicated, declared, something like this, declared in the Spirit, or the Spirit declares him by descending upon him. and seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So here is a general description of his ministry.
Amen.
And so, Spirit comes upon him. And so we have that day and the next day. So we have day two, back in verse 29, the next day, day two. So we've got 40 days, day one, day two, and then in verse 35, the next day, this is day three. All right, so here's, we try to put all these pieces together. So the Lord baptized, 40-day temptation. On the third day, we're told in verse 35, and the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the third or tenth hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and following him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. All right, so as I mentioned before here, then that generation knew the Messiah would come in their lifetime. And so John has led up to these things. John now has recognized Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, baptizes him. The Lord is tempted, victorious over the temptation, begins his public ministry. John now is a forerunner pointing to the Messiah. And so we have forerunner, Messiah, Scripture being confirmed. These early disciples here, and so in what sense are they disciples? Well, they were baptized. See, so those who went to the Jordan to get baptized believe that they were identifying with the Messiah, whomever he may be. Follow that? And now John says, "You've identified with Messiah through my preaching about baptism, and I'm the forerunner to Messiah, and I'm going to point out who the Messiah is." Well, he's the Messiah, then we're going to follow him. See that? So they did. And so then they begin to, his ministry begins here and so on. Then we see in verse 43, the day following. So we have a series of days here when the Lord started his public ministry. And so in a very short period of time, he got his public ministry going. He didn't wait around and so on. But there had to be steps made, you see. Steps had to be made. The forerunner need to come on the scene, tell people the Messiah is here. Then the forerunner needed to know who the Messiah was. And then he needed to tell people he's the Messiah. And then as the Lord traveled around and others asked about him and so on, they wanted to know, where's your house, and so on and so forth, his background, and found out everything fits. He's from Nazareth. He's the son of Joseph and Mary, but through the virgin birth and so on. So they began to realize these things. He is the right one. See, so it wasn't just somebody walking along one day and said, "I'm the Messiah," and Peter said, "Okay, I'm going to follow you." You know, Peter had been prepared. He'd been prepared. And so what else could Peter do or Andrew do? What else could they do? I mean, well, the only other thing they could do is say, "No, he's not the Messiah." That's what the Pharisees said. And then... they were in trouble, obviously, with all that. Notice in verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." See, so when they want to know where he lives and so on, well, he's Jesus of Nazareth. And so we saw that in Matthew chapter 1, he shall be called the Nazarene, right? That's what the prophet said. That wasn't written down anywhere, but the prophet said that. And he's the son of Joseph. Who was Joseph? Well, he was the father, or he was the husband of Mary, who fulfilled the virgin birth. Fulfilled the virgin birth. And so everything fit together. And so Peter and Andrew and these men, as they were men who believed the Old Testament, they believed the Old Testament. They didn't necessarily understand everything in the Old Testament, but they believed the Old Testament. The Messiah was coming. When the forerunner said, okay, I'm setting everything up. See, so he just set everything up. And once he's had everything set up, he said, he's the one. Okay, everything clicked. That's it. And so we see John's ministry here. So we come back to Matthew chapter 3. And how significant his ministry was. And so we learn many, many truths here. So in conclusion here, if you look at Matthew 28, here's the Great Commission. The Great Commission. And so when the Lord says to these disciples who'd been baptized by John the Baptist, he says in Matthew 28:19, go therefore and teach all nations baptizing. See, so the disciples then have to say, well, what do you mean by that? Who's baptism? How's that done? What's that all about? We have no idea. What are you talking about? Baptizing. They knew all about that. They knew all about that. So, once again, some of the Protestant professors I had said, no, this is a different baptism. Different baptism, why would you conclude that? Well, because John was an Old Testament prophet and his baptism was Old Testament, but this is, we're in the New Testament in Acts and following, this is New Testament baptism. No, this is nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. We've got a lineage going on of baptism. Yes, sir. Who's that, Matt? Well, Matthew was an apostle, and so he's chapter 10. Matthew tells us he's one of the apostles there. Yeah, so yeah, he comes in, but he's writing this, so he knew all these details as an apostle. You know, after this, so yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, we'll. Stop at this point. Our Father, we thank you for this time we have to open the Word of God. Pray that you'll bless our study now. We thank you for the Scripture here, and thank you for the certainty that we have as we've trusted in the Lamb of God and followed through with believers' baptism in this assembly. Bless us now, we ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.